You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
And welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks National Campus and Community Radio Association networks across British Columbia and throughout Canada. And of course, that is the new theme now, artist by Jules Brown, song called Life of Poncho. And I did a little arrangement at the end of the song, which is me, DJ Ray, as well. So I'm both Kelly Rayburn and DJ Ray. So there you go. Okay, so we're waiting for Michael Rubin to come in, stuck on traffic as usual. That sort of thing. So while I start with some music, and we'll come right back and in just a moment, probably play you some modern jukebox or something like that. But anyways, it's morning, you know, and hopefully we will get to get on track on some things as well. So this is quite, you know, it's mostly quiet mornings on Thursdays now that some of the students are gone. So, if I find the music, I will play it to you. I'm just searching here. So here we go. And I will be back in a moment here on the Community Living Show.
There was a time I used to look into my father's eyes. Those days are gone. Now the memories on the wall. father said, don't you worry.
Sure.
sure. I don't wanna be the reason for your love no more. I'm checking out, I'm signing off. I don't wanna be the loser and I've had enough. I don't wanna be a fool in this game for two. So I'm leaving you behind. I don't wanna make it tough, but I've had enough. Bye, 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 bye. Don't wanna be a fool for you, just another player in your game.
Mama tells me I shouldn't bother, that I ought
Okay, let's make the list here now. We got Raylene Reinhart in a song called Love Fool, and it's also part of, you know, the jazz version of Cardigans. Oops, sorry. You still have to use the microphone. Michael's here. Tara Louise song, Bye Bye Bye, from, of course, Postmodern Jukebox. Iggy Azalea from the song Fancy. Robin Adele Anderson in Don't You Worry, Child. This is the Community Living Show. I'm going to be back with Michael, and he's got some articles he wants to talk about. So we will be back in a moment on the Community Living Show.
Hello. Hi. Do you want to go to a party with me?
No. The game's on.
Oh, I almost forgot. I'll be right there.
We like sports and we don't care who knows. From shooting hoops to the Super Bowl.
Do you like sports and don't care who knows? Then CITR Sports needs you. If you like sports, are into radio, or generally just want to have a great time, then come join us. Email our sports coordinator at sports101@citr.ca to find out more, or come by the station in the new sub. See you soon.
Watch, because I'm the man.
Your cell phone already has an FM receiver chip installed in it, but major Canadian telecommunication and mobile companies have blocked access to this free system to listen to the radio in favor of charging for data streaming. With access to the FM chip, your phone can still receive broadcasts and updates during an emergency, even if the cell towers are down. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
All right, you tune into Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Network's National Campus Radio Network and two of our stations, Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM, and on CITR 101.9 FM, both stations in the Vancouver area. Hello, Michael.
How are you, Kelly?
I'm okay. So. Hopefully. I got to go to work after this.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's
one of those times where, you know, when you have a holiday, you know, statutory holiday, they want you in, you know, on the Thursday that needs to be done. So,
yep. These things happen.
Yes, that's right.
You know,
and now you've got some article clips.
Well, actually, I have a pre-recorded interview with Roberta Shaler.
Okay.
She is a renowned author on relationships, and she'll talk about some of her writings and things like that. But she coined this interesting term called the hijackal that she that becomes part of her practice and how she helps people work out problems with their relationships. She's not necessarily, she's more of a consultant than she is a counselor, even though she has all the credentials to be the counselor. It's just that she prefers to take that role because she can call you out on stuff, whereas the counselor has to, like, well, maybe, and she can be more direct to the point.
Okay.
So, and sometimes that's what people really need. So, anyway.
So this is...
So it's Roberta Shaler, and her name is spelled R-H-O-B-E-R-T-A. Shaler is S-H-A-L-E-R. So if you want to go out there and Google her, you can. But she'll at the end of the interview, we'll give you more information about how to get a hold of her.
Okay, sure.
All right.
Here we go.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for joining us here on the Community Living Show here on CFRO and CITR, UBC Radio, and Vancouver's Co-op Radio. We're here today with a special guest, Roberta Shaler. Roberta is a relationship help doctor who offers urgent and ongoing care for relationships in crisis through counseling, speaking, video, and writing. She particularly focuses on her expertise on partners, exes, adult children, co-workers, and relentless, difficult, disturbing people. She calls them hijackals. We'll get Roberta to define hijackal a little more closer in a second. Working with people struggling in life, death, and relationships for over 30 years in Canada and in the U.S., Dr. Shaler has brought hope, comfort, strength, success to countless people who honestly believe it is impossible. Even in the U.S., Marines have used her services. Wow, the U.S. Marines have used Dr. Shaler. Good morning, Dr. Shaler. How are you?
Oh, very well, Michael. Thank you.
Should I stay with the formalities or can I call you Roberta?
Oh, just call me Roberta.
Okay. Well, that's some pretty impressive intro, especially ending with the U.S. Marines, because I know that they really have a struggle with things like PTSD and when they return home, of getting relationships to restart.
With the Marines, I was working with a general. A female general who was very, very aware of the statistics that when Marines come home from deployment on the base for 30 days, the number of domestic violence incidents went way up. And so she was designing programs that allowed for people to get counseling before they came home, both the person deployed and the people at home, to change that, because it is very, very important for families to be ready to have those very major changes, regardless of what the person who's been off in deployment has been through.
Yeah. Well, there's no accounting for what only they can account for what they've seen while they were deployed. So, not having seen it, you have, for the person being at home, there's a level of patience that I imagine that you would have to observe give to this person who's returning home for them to make life normal again. So.
Well, it takes quite a while to make life anything like normal after somebody's been deployed, particularly when it's been 6 months or more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, When things go sideways in a relationship, deployment or not, just regular folk, they can range from annoying to downright making you crazy. What are some of the steps that people can do to actually start bringing things back so they stop going sideways?
Well, there are two things that are absolutely important before either of those things can happen. And first of all, you need some skills. So you need the ability to have a healthy relationship. And secondly, you need the willingness to create a healthy relationship. And many times people say they want a healthier relationship, but what they really mean is they hope the partner will change. And that's really not where the problem has to be solved from. Each person has to be willing to look within and be very honest about who they are. And they need to learn to communicate in ways that are both kind and honest at the same time. And that's the trick. So often I'm helping people learn to communicate because they just fight. They withhold themselves from each other. The silent treatment is far too prevalent. So it's very important for people to know themselves very well before they think they're going to fix or change their relationship, because they're really focused on fixing and changing their partner.
I hear that from a lot of people, being a person in the media trying to get the word out about different things, and you hear that people say that, oh, well, I hope he changes soon, or I hope she changes soon, or something like that. So how do you convince people that one, compromise is a good thing, and two, changing themselves is a good thing.
Well, I don't convince them at all. If they come to see me, then for some reason they've decided that they need help. And what I can tell them is that you have to do the work. You know, I am a relationship consultant and educator. Although I have a doctorate in psychology, I no longer practice as a therapist or a counselor. Because as a consultant, I can call the shots. I can say, hey, what about this? Or this is what this looks like. Or here's what I think you should do. But in those other roles, I would have to be a lot more inviting the other person to decide what they want to do. But they come to me because they're stuck. And when they're stuck, the choices are either you get unstuck together or you get unstuck alone. What do you really want to do here? Are you willing to move towards each other or are you moving apart? And many times I describe that as people like to have this romantic notion that even though they believe that they're on parallel pathways at the moment, they actually have that romantic notion that the railway ties actually meet at the horizon if you just stay on them long enough. And we all know that they don't. You just stay on parallel paths and you never get together. So it's not about my convincing anybody. It's about what do you want? And how badly do you want it? And what are you willing to do to get it?
Right. That makes a lot more sense than trying to convince somebody of something. There is no real convincing, I would suppose. There's a term that we got to in the beginning, and I may be jumping ahead a little bit on this one, but my curiosity is getting the better of me. What do you mean by hijackal?
That's a term I trademarked, Michael, because there are so many people who are running around looking for what's wrong with their partner, and they go to the internet and they decide to use psychological clinical terms. And it doesn't help at all. All it does is make you feel superior to the other person and you dismiss any possibility of help. So I coined the term hijackals, which is a description, and I'll give you the definition. It is people who hijack relationships for their own purposes while relentlessly scavenging them for power, status, and control. Those are behaviors. We're not describing some kind of personality disorder or some psychological deficit. We're talking about behaviors. People who are in the relationship to take it sideways so that they can win and have power over the other person, and then scavenging it for that power and control and status and things. They want to be getting something. They're not there to contribute anything good.
So there's a list of behaviors that you said it's a list of behaviors, not necessarily a personality type.
Right, because who cares about labels? We care about what we can recognize. What is this person doing? When the person does something, how do I feel about that? When I feel like that frequently, one of the things hijackals do is they make everything your fault, for example. So no matter what you do, you think you've done something wonderful, you try harder and harder and harder to please them. No matter how hard you try, it's never good enough because they are engaged in finding fault to have power over you. So you have to look at those behaviors. I mean, if you can't ever please somebody, you know, it's like the Queen of Hearts in Alice in Wonderland is just like off with their heads all the time.
Yeah, that's a good example of a person that can never be satisfied. Yeah,
exactly.
That makes sense.
So you can never satisfy a hijackal because they always want more wins, more praise, more power, more control. And when you begin to notice the traits that the behavior that you're experiencing, and you can give it a name, then there's hope for you to begin to look at the relationship and realize that it's not the three things a healthy relationship has to be, which is equal, reciprocal, and mutual. And if those three things aren't there, you're going to have trouble with it. So in these relationships with hijackals, one of the biggest things is the power balance and the power deficit. And we need to be able to just recognize the power dynamic playing out. We don't need a list of things that narcissistic personalities have. We need to recognize, how are they with me in the relationship? And therefore, I've written about hijackals now for quite a while. I've got two books, ebooks out about them that people can download. In fact, if you think you might be with one, you can download my free ebook called How to Spot a Hijackal at hijackals.com. And you spell that hijack, ALS.com. So, you know, get the free ebook, and then you can go on Amazon. I've written 16 books, so you can find lots of things to read there.
Yeah, I've noticed that you've written a number of books on relationships and how to improve relationships, and you know, I like what you said about the three things, that the equal, the mutual, and all
reciprocal.
And reciprocal. Thank you. You know, it those make sense, and that is what a healthy relationship is supposed to be. So how is it? How do we get to we have a partner? How do we recognize that we have those three things in them? And if we're missing one, how do we get them?
Well, first of all, recognizing that it's not equal, mutual, and reciprocal is a really big start. Mm-hmm. And usually you'll find that you're feeling resentful. That's the biggest key that you will notice. I'm always feeling resentful, and I'm feeling less than, and I'm feeling left out. I'm feeling, well, obviously not equal. And those things have to be rectified within the person. Many of us have been raised to be, you know, nice. So nice, polite, considerate, patient, kind, all of those wonderful words, compassionate. And these are really, really good attributes to have. However, many times, and I've written about this a lot, I coined the phrase inclusive compassion. And many times we're all compassionate about everybody in the world, but we don't include ourselves in the compassion. And so we're not compassionate towards ourselves. So we have to start there and say, wow, I'm not happy. It's not that I'm waiting for somebody to make me happy, because happy is an inside job. But I'm not happy. My partner's not happy. This isn't happy. I don't look forward to this. There is some imbalance that's occurring here. Let's stop and focus on that. Let's find out what that is, and let's find out what each of us believe and feel it is, think it is, and let's talk about that. But for many people, whether we're talking about a couple or we're talking about I've been writing a lot about Mother's Day right now, so we're talking about relationship with a parent or relationship with a child, a relationship with a coworker or a sister or whatever it is, if you can't talk about your relationship in an equitable way, it's not going to go anywhere good. Because if every time you get into it, it's always tit for tat and scoreboards and he said this and she said that, and you know, when you do this, I feel this way, and therefore you're wrong. When we get into those kind of conversations, it doesn't work at all. And so it's very important. I've written a lot about this in a book called Kaizen for Couples, Smart Steps to Save, Sustain, and Strengthen Your Relationship. And those couples are any couple, you know, like I said, mother, father, child, parent, coworker, any kind of couple. I mean, certainly it talks in there about romantic relationships, but these are the things every one of us needs to know in order to have an emotionally healthy relationship, a relationship of grown-ups.
Right. This isn't just the romantic relationship. This is this could be the offspring parent relationship or the sibling relationship also, right?
Yeah, sure. Or with a friend or with a business partner or with a coworker. I mean, relationships are relationships. Yes, there are deeper relationships, there are closer relationships, there are intimate relationships. But many of the things in the book, although it's written for couples in a romantic relationship, many of the things in the book are absolutely the same things that I teach when I go into a company where there's dysfunction occurring. Because we have to learn to communicate, and we have to learn to be honest. And there are five things that I write about in there that I call the relational gifts. And if we don't have these five things within us, we can't bring them to the relationship. So that's why I call them gifts, because you can't give a gift you don't have. So you have to have it within yourself. You have to be treating yourself in these five ways. And when you're in a relationship with yourself that embodies these gifts, then you have these gifts to give. And what they are: honesty, safety, trust, respect, and reliability.
Well, and these things, they're not like way out there sort of things. They're very basic things.
Very basic things. Yeah. But if we're not honest with ourselves, Michael, how can I be honest with somebody else, really? I can't.
Go.
All right, so... That was the Roberta Shaler?
Yeah, Roberta Shaler.
As part of a consultant, am I right?
Yeah, she is a relationship consultant. Mm-hmm. And as she, I believe she explained in part of it, is it gives her a different set of tools to help people with their relationships, where a counselor, they sit, they listen, and... They can't just because you don't want to participate in the exercises. They can't necessarily just cut you off. Mm. Whereas a consultant, she can say, "Hey, if you're not going to take this seriously, I got somebody else that does. I'm going to move on to the next client."
Right.
So which is
so cool. We're going to continue on with this after the break.
Yep.
All right, we'll be back in a moment. This is the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
Radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite
indeed.
Dunkin's Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground, Thursdays noon to 1.
Welcome back to the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks on Co-op Radio, CFRO, and CITR 101.9 FM. We're talking to Roberta Shaler, who's a consultant.
Yeah.
And let's go back on to the thing.
Okay.
Because I don't know what honesty is. So how does that impact a relationship? It means that if I'm not honest with myself, I'm going to make you wrong for not being honest with me, because I'm going to hold you to the standard I don't have within myself. And I'm going to resent it when you're not honest. And I'm going to say, well, it's your fault. You're ruining the relationship because you're not honest with me. But where the beginning of the work is are you being honest with yourself? I mean, how many times have I had a couple in front of me where they've said, oh, yes, I really want the relationship. Then I get them apart and one of them says, well, really, I can't stand him. And well, why do you want to be in a relationship with someone I can't stand? Well, I should try and make it work, don't you think? Well, yeah, you should try and make it work, not for the reason you think, but because you need to learn about yourself and you need to learn some skills and strategies and you need to try them in this relationship to see if it will work for you. And if it won't work for you, then you will have the calibration to know it's time to move on.
That makes sense. Move on because the relationship has evolved in a direction, not necessarily because of problems. Is that what you mean?
Well, that's possible, but there are problems. I mean, that's why people came to see me. So let's look at the problem. Let's see if we can solve the problem. And let's also be honest enough with ourselves to say, even if I solve that problem, do I like this other person? Do I want to be with this other person? Do I trust this other person? Do I respect this other person? Well, if you don't have honesty, safety, trust, respect, and reliability within yourself, and you don't have it in your relationship, you don't have anything to stay with the person for.
And that, again, makes sense. So if you don't have the five gifts within you, then you, not only do you not have them to give, but until they're developing, you can't see them in others either.
That's right. Well, you'll never develop equality, reciprocity, and mutuality. Mm-hmm. You can't, because one, the relationship has deficits that are too large.
Yeah, deficits look more like chasms.
Gaps. And I think every relationship is an opportunity to learn and grow. And, you know, some relationships are for that exact purpose. Some of them last forever. Some of them last for a short period of time. And we have to be aware of what's going on. You know, certainly I'm an advocate of, if you're in a committed relationship, give it the best shot you can give it by getting really good help. I have clients all over the world, and I do my work through video conferencing. So I have people in many, many countries, and they're all suffering in the same way. They all want the same thing. They all are looking for the ideal. And some of them are willing to do the work, and some of them aren't. And if we happen to have a couple come to see me where one of the people turns out to be a hijacker, that has to be addressed right away, because they will come and what happens in that circumstance is quickly discernible by me. I don't know that it's always discernible, because I have people from many countries who tell me, I went to see somebody with my partner about the relationship, and I came away feeling worse because the person I went to see was seduced, manipulated, and exploited by the hijacker, and I felt that they ganged up on me. And that's way too common, because a lot of professionals do not see these behaviors. We do not see them clearly. This is my specialty. This is where I spend all my life and my juice. And if you don't, then it sounds reasonable when somebody comes in and lists all these horrible things that the other person does, and you don't have the experience to say, I think you're talking about yourself. You're blaming it all on your partner, but you're actually talking about yourself. And I need to watch for that. And then invariably what a hijacker will do is try to seduce me over to his or her side and get us on the same side against the partner. And of course, in my practice, that doesn't work. But so many people tell me that that's how they felt when they've gone for help. So I understand that dynamic when people come to see me.
Yeah. How does it work if I'm having trouble with in a relationship, and I come to find you, and how does it work with you? How do you discern what the problems are in the relationship and give people the work to fix them?
Well, for me, I offer a free consultation. It's short. I just want to find out whether or not we're a good fit, whether I can help you. And once you do that, then you have to commit to a series of 8 or 15 sessions with me, because you didn't get into this difficulty quickly and you're not going to get out of it quickly. So if you really want a relationship to work, you have to commit to work over time. And so, I mean, then it's very individual. I watch the dynamics. I watch the body language. I listen to the language. I watch the tone of voice and the look on the face. And I can tell what's going on there. And then I just ask questions and get people talking. We get to the issues. And once we get to the issues, I give skills and strategies. And then we find if there's willingness to practice those skills and strategies. I used to own a retreat center on Vancouver Island. And I remember one couple who came, and they had 4 children, and they desperately wanted to save their marriage, they said. And I gave them a little exercise. I said, in the next week, I need you to have 2 sessions of at least 25 minutes where there's no television, there's nobody going anywhere, you're just sitting together talking. So they came back the next week, and I said, well, how did your 2 sessions go? And they said, oh, we're way too busy to do that. I said, well, you're way too busy to have a relationship. Then don't pretend that you can tell me that you want this relationship to work if you cannot find 2 25-minute periods in an entire week to sit and talk together.
Okay. I have to comment on that. That's one of the most basic things, is being able to converse with the other person if you're going to be in a lifelong committed relationship with them.
Absolutely, of course.
I mean,
yeah.
Wow.
How do you share your dreams? How do you share your visions? And that's where safety comes in. You have to be safe with each other, that I can float something by you and you don't put me down, that you're curious about what I'm thinking about and curious about why I think it, and you're willing to think with me and feel with me and go through that intimate connection of mutuality. Like, I am truly interested in you. Wow, that's interesting. You weren't thinking that last week. What changed? I mean, one of the big things that causes a big moment in my office or online now, because I don't see people in my office very often, but they'll come in and they'll say, well, she's not the person I married. And I go, yay! And they're really upset, because why am I so excited? I said, well, you've been married for 10 years. Do you want her to still be how she was 10 years ago? There's been growth, there's been learning, there's been change. Did you keep pace with the growth, learning, and change? No, because you're sitting in front of me telling me that you wish she was like she was when you married her. Well, you want that 22-year-old? Come on, what's wrong with you? So, you know, let's get real about what's going on here. We can say all the right words, but we have to get down to the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, relationships have to evolve. People have to evolve. People grow, right?
Well, hopefully they do. And hopefully they allow themselves to grow and their partners are interested in their growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, you know, and there comes the honesty part again. It's like, obviously, I didn't want you to grow in that direction. I thought you would grow in this direction.
Yeah, and I want you to be more like me. The real direction I wanted you to grow is to become more like me. And when people do grow more like you, then you get bored with them. Because you were attracted to them because they're different than you. Then you try to take out your sandpaper and get off all the rough edges and make them more like you. And when they become more like you, then you say that's boring, right? It's a silly, silly thing. It's our differences that interest us, and it doesn't mean that we have to be vastly different, or we may be vastly different, but it's our level of intimacy. You know, if we break that word down, as Susan Campbell said so long ago, intimacy is 4 little words, into me see. And if you are not willing to open yourself and allow someone to see you because A, you're not open. B, you're not safe to open yourself to the other person. Your relationship will not be what it could be. It will not be an emotionally healthy grown-up relationship.
Wow. So,
the next question that just kind of comes to me is, how do we spot within ourselves that we are attracting the hijackal to us?
Oh, good question. If in our, and we could talk about hijackals for hours, Michael, mm-hmm. but hijackals, you become a hijackal by your environment in your early life. Mm-hmm. Our brains are not fully formed until we're 25, so they're quite pliable. And for many years, we don't have language or sophisticated language. So we're taking a great deal in before we have language, before we even come to the place where we can see outside ourselves, really. And a lot is done to us during that period of time. So we may become a hijackal, or we may become what I call hijackal bait. You become hijackal bait by being in one of those environments that normalizes the emotional dysfunction that's going on in your home. And then you will become an over-accommodator, a people pleaser, a doormat, a pretzel, whatever term you want to use, in order to please people. And that makes you into hijackal bait. So you become very ready to rationalize, justify, and make excuses for other people's poor behavior. Those are symptoms of hijackal bait. So if you are hijackal bait, they will find you, and they will find you quickly. And the thing about a hijackal is that hijackal is a chameleon. It is, that person is going to focus on you, be completely immersed in you, know you better than you know yourself. You're going to believe you died and went to heaven, and now you found your soulmate, and you're like, oh, he or she knows me so well. It's so perfect. Oh, how all this. Problem with a hijackal getting you is their chameleon phase, and they're quite good at the short and the long con. And then as soon as they've got you, then they start doing things that they ought not to do. They'll dismiss you, they'll devalue you, they'll demean you. And all of these things really start to show up. And it begins by saying something offhand, and you react and you say, oh, well, that's an awful thing to say. And they, oh, no, I'm sorry. And so they get back in your good graces. And then those things start to happen faster, more frequently. And it becomes a pattern, but you've been accepting the pattern. And so you're used to, you're normalized because of the hijackal in your early life. You're normalized to making yourself into a pretzel. So your internal talk is, if only I were more patient or more kind or more considerate or asked fewer questions.
All right. So there we go. Oh.
That's Roberta Shaler.
And maybe you might get the information. Did you get the information from her?
And here we go.
Yep.
It's her contact information. The best way to get a hold of her is forrelationshiphelp.com.
Okay.
And that is FOR relationshiphelp.com. Okay. So spell the four out, FOR.
All right.
And you can schedule a free consultation with her.
All right. So that was Roberta Shelter. Any upcoming shows that are coming up?
Well, we do have somebody that we invited back, and that would be Robin Mitak. And we'll have her on hopefully next week.
Okay.
And
you just heard about the ding part, so just let listeners know that was on your your I wouldn't say it was on your laptop.
That was actually a Zoom call. And there's for purposes of her practice, I think she has a timer set to the Zoom thing. Okay. And there were points where
There were some dings.
Yeah, and I would have cut part of her answer out to get rid of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so otherwise they usually try to cut all the dings out. I know when it's my computer.
Yeah.
And because you know how it is, you have two different tracks that you're editing, and because you have two different sources of the sound, and I knew when it's my computer because it's on a different track,
right?
And that sounds on a different track than her sound for her computer. So yeah.
All right, Michael. Thank you very much. We are out of time. If you want to get in contact us, it's communitylivingradio@gmail.com. And I hardly ever get a chance to do it, but we do try the best we can to respond to your questions and stuff like that. So there you go. Thank you very much, Michael. We will be back again next week. Same time, same station. Check us out tomorrow for Co-op Radio for the half-hour version. Right?
Right.
So see you all then. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Tune in to African Rhythms every Friday from 7:30 to 9 o'clock with your host, David Love Jones, as he plays a heavyweight selection of classics from the past, present, and future. This includes jazz, soul, hip-hop, Afro-Latin, funk, and eclectic Brazilian rhythms.
Lots of people, they take it like a game.
Like the legend of the Phoenix, all ends are beginnings. God keeps the planet spinning, a force from the beginning. We've come too far to forget who we are. So let's raise the bar and our cups to the
present has no ribbon. Your gift keeps on giving. What is this I'm feeling? If you want to leave, I'm with it.
We've come too far to forget who we are. So let's raise the bar and our cups to the stars.
I'm up all night to get started.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thinkum Queen Ansep, Hydra, CM, Nisiam, Nisiaya.